The past 4 weeks have seemed like a whirlwind. And while I'm not sure if you came to church expecting to hear the details of what has transpired for me, I pray that in my story, you will see the way the Holy Spirit has been at work. Often we don't recognize the grace of God in the moment. Yet there are times in my life when the Holy Spirit has become so very real to me. This is one of those times. I've missed you all the past month. I've been connected through emails and text, but I've been gone a lot. My last Sunday to preach in person at the downtown church was May 23rd. The next day, I flew to Cabo San Lucas to spend a week with my dear friend Kay. Kay is the kind of friend with whom the hours fly by in conversation. We spent many of them attempting to figure out all of life in general, in each of our own lives individually. By the end of a week of listening to the crashing of the waves off the coast, resting and resetting my mind, body, and spirit, it was time to return. While I was away, my dad, who has been struggling with Alzheimer's disease, had progressed to the point where my mom made the difficult and important decision to have him admitted to a memory care unit in Athens, Georgia. Some of you have been where the weight of caring for your loved one can no longer be carried. It's heart-wrenching, but Mom bravely did what was best for him. Dad's disease was moving much more rapidly than anyone could predict. Within 10 days, he was hospitalized. After another 5 days of deterioration, I traveled to be with my family. He was moved to an excellent hospice house, and for the record, I am a huge proponent of hospice care. 2 days later, early on the morning of June 7th, Dad died. I came home for a few days, attended a Missouri annual conference, and then returned to Athens last weekend. Ben and I gathered with my siblings and their spouses, Mom and Dad's 12 grandchildren, other family and friends, and of course, my mom, to celebrate an incredibly well-lived life of 90 years. A life that impacted generations of people and brought meaning far beyond our family to the many Dad encouraged, loved, taught, and helped along the way. 90 years, a long life, and not a tragedy for my dad to die, to breathe his last on this earth and his first in heaven. Not a tragedy, but still a loss, and the ending of a story I would like to have written a different way. Alzheimer's is a difficult way to die, as it takes away much. There is a reason it's called the long goodbye. Bit by bit, it took the ability my dad had to reason and make decisions. It took away his knowledge of who we were, where he was, and what was happening to him. My dad was a college professor, an author, a brilliant man who loved to learn and loved to teach. He was very professional, neatly dressed, incredibly polite, eager to engage in conversation with anyone and everyone from the, do you remember the day there was a gas station attendant, to the dignitaries of education with the same amount of enthusiasm. Alzheimer's took that away the past 2 years. So the story I would like to write would have been of a death with his intellect intact, his ability to express his thoughts still there, and our opportunity as his family to be understood as we shared how much we loved and valued him. But that was not the end of the story we lived with Dad these last 2 years. It was different. Whether a life goes on for 90 years or ends way too soon, the same is true. It's not the end of our life that defines us. It's the way in which we live our days. And through our story, there are moments of incredible grace, a movement of the Holy Spirit that binds us to God and one another, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that can heal us. Sometimes our body, always our soul. True for my dad, true for me, true for you. Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 at an encounter Jesus has with a woman who is desperate for healing. Her life has been spent with 12 long years of struggling. She has been bleeding, scripture says hemorrhaging, year after year with no healing, no respite, no way of re-engaging life with her community. A person with her health problems is considered an outcast, not worthy or acceptable to be in the company of others. Jesus is passing by on the way to the home of the leader in the synagogue whose daughter is dying. The crowds are pressing around him. He can only move slowly through all the people vying for his attention. They know he is the one who has been healing people from sickness, paralysis, demonic possession. They know the words he speaks bring hope and encouragement to those who have lived under Roman oppression and religious laws so stringent they bind and constrict life. This woman knows it too. I'm reading from the Message version of Mark 5. A woman who has suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians has treated her and treated her badly, taking all her money and leaving her worse off than before, had heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind and touched the robe. She was thinking to herself, if I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said, "What are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you." But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him, and gave him the whole story. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague." Can you see this moment? Desperately, she reaches through the crowd. If only she can touch his garment, just a finger on something that has come in contact with Jesus will be enough. It's worth a shot, right? So I imagine her trying to hide her identity, for she has been ignored and scorned for 12 years by the people surrounding Jesus. I imagine her weary, weak from years of bleeding, exhausted from the effort. Can you see her reaching out and feeling the coarseness of Jesus' robe beneath her fingers? And right then, immediately in that moment, she was healed and set free. Healed from the burden of her disease, set free from the limitations it had imposed on her for so long, free of the self-loathing, isolation, and pain that marked her life, free to be whole once again. And I imagine Jesus in the midst of the crowd, seeking to know the one person who touched him, the one who, because he had trusted Jesus with the deepest part of themselves, was now healed. The one who had taken a risk of faith and was now made whole. I love this story because it has a happy ending. But I struggle with the story for the same reason. This summer, I'm using what is known as the lectionary for messages. It's a practice that dates back to the early church and gives specific passages of scripture for preaching and teaching. So, looking ahead to June 27th, I had already decided I was going to preach this passage weeks before I went to Athens when my dad was hospitalized and dying. I knew I would use this passage even as I saw his passing from this life to the next. I knew it as I prepared to share a reflection at his funeral, as I did last week. So it's been running around in my thoughts for weeks. And the truth is, as the days unfolded, the healing of the woman by Jesus was the ending I wanted for Dad. What I want for all the people I love and serve, I want healing, the plague to be resolved, for us, the pandemic, to stop taking lives and filling hospitals. I want the blind to see, the paralyzed to walk, the mentally ill to become well. And while I'm at it, I want all family members to get along perfectly and forgiveness to be a way of life. I want marriages to stay steadfast and vows to be taken seriously. I want humanity to live with love as our shared way of life. Don't you? Yet, as I carry this story with me through the ups and downs and around the past few weeks, I began to see something incredibly beautiful in the story. It was the way in which it only took a touch, a moment, a finger on the robe of Jesus for this woman to find what she needed. She sought out what she had believed to be true. Putting herself at the foot of Jesus would be enough to make her well. She was not going to need the right words or the exact correct position. She didn't need to make herself known in the crowd by yelling for Jesus or waving her arms and jumping up and down. No, just reaching out her hand was enough. Reaching out for Jesus is enough because He is enough. He knows. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was enough in the crashing of the waves I heard when in exhaustion and weariness, I was able to spend time with a friend, stare with wonder at creation, and reach out to touch something holy. He knew the value of the time to restore my soul before it was going to be challenged with the sorrow that comes from walking through the valley of the shadow of death. For God was with me. He was enough in the provision of people at the downtown church who are gifted and willing to be able to share their faith journey in messages and prayers when I reached out my hand and asked. Jesus was there in the wisdom of my daughter and others as I reached out in need to get quickly to Georgia, see my mom and dad as the disease was progressing, and be with my two brothers and sister. Jesus was in the room as we all had our time to be with Dad before he died. Jesus was there as I struggled to write my remarks for the celebration of life for a man I loved so greatly that I could only begin to touch on my devotion in the few minutes I would have. Jesus was there as I reached out again to Ben and our children, and they responded with love to travel this past weekend for Dad's service. Again and again, Jesus was there. He's always there. Jesus was enough. He's always enough. For Dad, for me, for you, Jesus is not just passing by on his way to somewhere else. He's attentive to the needs all around him all the time. Don't be fooled by the crowds that seem pressed upon him, who seem to know exactly what to do and what to say, who appear to be blocking your way to Jesus. Now, Jesus knows you're there. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He feels our presence as we feel His. There's always room for us at the feet of Jesus. He'll always stop for us. Don't let your weariness or the challenges of life that have depleted so much of your reserves keep you from reaching out. And may with just a word, just a sigh, just a touch, maybe even just a thought to the one who knows your every thought, hears the desires of your heart, and by grace knows your name. Jesus was enough for my dad. He was there. Dad was always a man of faith, always a devoted follower of God through Jesus Christ, always one who took his vows to his church as sacred. Alzheimer's takes away much, but it cannot take away our soul. That belongs to God. I believe to the core of my being that Jesus was enough for my dad when he reached out in his spirit and touched the hem of the robe of the most glorious Son of God. For that moment, it was just Jesus and Dad. For that instant, it was the King and the servant. And my dad was and is healed. This story does have a happy ending. A difficult, complicated, holy, beautiful, sad, and happy ending. Let's pray. Almighty God, keep us aware of the many ways in which you are present in our lives. Help us to look for you, expecting to find you. We grow weary, we become overwhelmed with the complexities of life and the disappointments we experience. We wonder if you're seeing us as we dart in and out of the crowds. Thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are always seen, always loved, always welcomed, as if we were the only one before you. May we determine to see, love, and welcome others in the same way. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who was and is and always will be enough. Amen.